And I realized that my reluctancy to give meant that I had a lack of love in my heart for God's people. You know, we say things like, well, I'm not giving to him because, you know, he doesn't even have a job. Is that how God loved? God required? No, the word of the Lord says that if a man does not work, he shall not eat. But that did not say that you were not to give to him if he didn't have a job, and that you were the one who was to declare whether he was worthy enough to give. Hear me out. I am preaching straight down your aisle. And the reason I'm doing it is because there's a basis for it. This is what I want to teach you today. When fear rules you about your situation, you begin to live in that selfish love. See, we're afraid of messing up spiritually. We're afraid of sinning, some of us. Yet why are we afraid of sin when it says if we confess our sin that he's faithful and just to forgive? If we confess he's faithful and just to forgive, not just part of the time, all the time. Yet we live in fear that we're going to go backwards and be in sin. Now, I'm not saying there isn't the fear of the Lord. There is. There's fear of sickness and disease and ultimate death. But why? When it says that he's our healer. Why is it that we're afraid to give when the Lord compels us to give financially? When he says that he'll meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory, yet we hesitate. Because we have not allowed love to be fully complete and matured in our lives. See, the more we read his promises, the more convinced that I'm sure that I'm sure that I'm sure that I'm sure that he's faithful and that he's just. And what his word says, he will perform no matter what. Galatians 5 says, and this is what I want to drive home to you today. I said all of that to say this. Your faith worketh by love. Hold up. Faith worketh by love. Did you hear me? Faith is the engine. Come on. Love. Love is the engine that gets your faith where it needs to go. I'm going to tell you right now, you can do this all day long with your faith. All day long. Claim every promise. You can start speaking it. You can talk it. You can do everything. But until love becomes the motivator and the engine of everything that's in this. And I'm talking love for the people you don't want to love. I'm talking about love for that family member that just gets under your skin. I'm talking about love for the boss that doesn't respect you. I'm talking about love that looks at the opposite belief system that you do. I'm talking love that crosses lines. I'm talking love that crosses racial divides. I'm talking about love that deals with a wallet, that if you're poor, rich, or you're filthy, stinking rich, it doesn't matter. I don't care. I'm talking love when you pass a man or woman or child that smells to high heaven. I'm talking about a love that reaches down into the pit and digs someone out, because that's the love of Christ. Your faith won't work. Did you hear me? Did you ever think that maybe the reason some of our prayers aren't being answered? Oh, yeah, someone just got it. No, I'm serious. Everyone's got this faith walk that says, well, I just didn't have enough faith. I just didn't have enough faith. No, maybe your engine stalled. Maybe you ran out of gas. And you need to go back to the love station and fill it up. Maybe we need to begin looking at people differently. You know, the other day I was sitting, you can't eat in a restaurant, certain places, and we were sitting in a car, Mom and I, and we were eating our lunch. Frisch's big boy. Oh, I love Frisch's. That hot fudge chocolate double-decker cake. Sorry. Had a moment. It's about noon. Anyways, we're sitting there, and this girl walked out. It must have been after her shift. I don't know. And I thought, and this is literally what I said, who would wear their hair like that? And I heard the Lord say, I think she's beautiful. And I went, I'm sorry, Mom, I shouldn't have said that. She said, well, what do you mean? I said, I shouldn't have said that about that girl's hair. And she said, well, it's the truth. It looks horrible. And I'm like, Mom, you're not understanding. And so I shared with her what the Lord was doing with me. And she said, oh, well, I never thought of that. Who made me the Lord of what hair looks like? Who made me the judge of someone's character of like whether I like your color or don't like your color? Whether I think you're trendy or I don't think you're trendy? You ever looked back at your own high school pictures? You thought you were all that in a box of chocolates. And you look back now and I'm like, oh, that's horrible. Yeah, well, you thought you were on point that day. God looks at us. He never judges or draws lines because of what color shoes you have on, with what purse you're carrying, with what leather belt color. No one gives a hoot. And God was showing me how shallow my love for His creation was. That I would judge a book by its cover. How in the world would I share the love of God with her if her ponytail wasn't centered and it was on the side? There was a day that was popular, by the way, and I think that's great. That was Cyndi Lauper. That's probably why I didn't like it, because I thought, I ain't going back to that day ever again. Hot leggings up to here and the big old leg warmers, bright pink. I used to be that girl. Anyways, what if our prayers are being hindered because of our lack of love? So I'm going to ask you to go back to what you think love is and begin to reanalyze that and say, God, is this really the love that you have? Is this really what you think about people? Because I'm going to tell you that what you and I think about doesn't even cross God's mind. What you and I see, what you and I feel, we are flesh. The prophecy that came forth today. We are flesh. Don't be drawn back into the fleshly way. Don't be drawn into the world's way. Do you get that it wasn't real common or the right thing to do when Jesus met the woman by the well in Samaria? Do you understand that it didn't look right, that the disciples said to him, like, Master, dude, like, what you doing? Do you know what this looks like? She's not the right woman. Like, this isn't good for your appearance. And Jesus said, shh, I got work to do. And because of Jesus spending time with what didn't look like he should be spending time with and crossed the line of love from the world's view to his view, an entire city was saved. And revival broke out in that land. Do you know that? God's asking for a sacrificial love. But when we don't have our love working to its fullness because of we're angry, because the world is like it is. I'm going to be honest with you. How many have been angry at the world right now? We got to come back. We got to come back, right? Because the kingdom that we're about is not this world. The kingdom that we're about is the heavenly kingdom and eternal things. Although we live in this world, our job is to take many of these people as we can with us, right? Into another world. But if we really want our faith working to its fullest capacity as a church, which I want it to, then we have to be sure that we're not holding unforgiveness, that we're not frustrated, right? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is long-suffering. Those are the ones we don't want, because when we think people should be maturing faster than they are, we kind of get put off. Like, oh my gosh, they've been in the church for 15 years. Don't you think they'd know by now? No. No, some of them don't. Faith worketh by love. Understanding faith alone is not enough. And I close with this. John 13:35 says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you love one another. You and I should be known that we're followers of Christ by the way we respond to anyone and everyone at any time. I'm asking you today, here's the deal. It's real simple. God doesn't reveal. It's an old Pentecostal saying. God doesn't reveal what he isn't ready to heal. I believe today that your earthly minds, something's been revealed to you about love. I know that there's some of you that have been sitting here in the service that God has specifically given you a certain date and time of when you didn't love like Christ. And he's going, and I need you to clean that up. And there's some of you that he's going to show in this next week. And I'm going to pray today that when we start moving through this next week, that your awareness to the spirit realm is going to be turned on. And that just like when I looked at that girl and I made misjudgments, the Lord was ashamed of who I was at that moment. Now, there was room. He was faithful and just to forgive me, but I'm not a fool to go back and do that ever again because I have the fear of the Lord in my heart, and I don't want my faith to not work, right? So I'm going to ask the Lord to do something special today for you and in your hearts, and I believe he's going to begin to move. And what I'm going to ask you to do is something else. If and when he shows you, I want you to share it with someone that you trust. And here's why. When we confess our sins one to another. Number one, it creates a bond and a unity between us as church. And it also allows us to understand that people that we thought were so perfect, or people that were not in the place where we thought they were, could be vulnerable. And we see these people growing and maturing in the ways of the Lord. See, when you love others and see them in a weaker spot, and you accept it the way they are, and you pray for them and you love them, now you're exercising God's love. And it becomes so much easier to love your brother when they're not perfect. And then we're not offended, we're not angry, we're not impatient with them. Because we realize that we too have been in that same place where we've needed that. You see? I want your faith working to its fullest capacity. But if we don't get these simple things taken care of, we're never going to be that church that they're known as his disciples. I don't want to be the church that people look at and go, oh yeah, those people. If it was really true that we loved people and we loved God, do you think that it would be safe to say that no one would feel inhibited to come sit in a church service just the way they were? In their jeans, in their sweats, in their ripped t-shirt? Maybe they didn't have time to take a shower that day? Do we think God's love had these prerequisites? Because it didn't. And neither should ours. Father, I just come before you in the name of Jesus. God, today, Father, you see, I gave the message that I believe that you wanted delivered today. But God, I ask for one step greater. Holy Spirit, our comforter, our friend, our teacher. God, I ask you this week to make us aware. Make us aware. Turn our awareness on that we could see where we're falling short, God. That we could see where our faith is not working because of our lack of love. Father, for if we have all of this, the gift of prophecy, if we have the working of miracles, if we have the discernment, if we can do all these things and not have love, then we have nothing. That's what the word says. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Father, mature us. Make us complete in you, God, that we could receive and house what you need us to, that we could freely give it to others. Father, put away our need to be right. Put away our voice that needs to be heard. And Father, make us like you. Transform us. I thank you that your love doesn't give up on me, ever. And Father, I know that what you reveal in our hearts, Holy Spirit, you're willing to heal. I ask you to take us to a new level, God. Mature us, God, into a selfless love and remove this selfishness from our lives, God. That we would truly begin to love people and love you the way we're supposed to. God, I ask these things in Jesus' name. Angel, in prayer this morning, and I'm scared to death to say this, but I have to be obedient. In a year, your life is going to be completely different. Taking time frames like that is a struggle for me, but I have to trust that God is speaking straight to your heart. And I don't know what that means. I don't know if it means your oak tree is going to be taller, or if you're, it's going to be different. Different. And whatever this struggle has been, you're going to significantly see the difference, and you're going to know it was that day that it changed. Okay? If there are those of you that have needs, that have prayer requests today, do you guys have an altar team? Do you have an altar team? Oh, prayer team. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, we got prayer requests for this. The prayer team, I'd like, if you're a part of the prayer team, I'd like you to come down. We're going to receive prayers after service. If you have needs, we want to pray with you. We believe God's going to touch you. Do whatever you need. It says you call for the elders of the church. Just means those mature in faith, but rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. We want to pray for Nathan March. I saw this on Facebook. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that Nathan, Father, you would touch his body. Father, he needs a complete healing from COVID. And Father, I thank you that, Lord, as they look into this transplant, Father, for his lung, God, I ask that you originate it. Father, you know the donor that it needs to be, where it needs to come from, and where it's coming from. But God, I thank you, Lord, that you've done a miracle above all things. Above all things. Father, we're not telling you how to do the miracle. We just trust that you're going to do it. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for Bob Hoover. Father, he needs a complete healing from stage 4 cancer. I speak to that cancer in his body right now. I command every cell, that rebellion that's in his body, I command you right now to become compliant and obedient to the working of that body. Father, you designed our immune system to work and to work properly. Now, Father, I thank you that this complete invasion of his system would be revoked right now. Devil, we command you to let go of him in Jesus' name. I don't care what stage you are. You're a liar. Amy Murphy, we pray for the Hines family, for they had a house fire and have lost everything. Father, I just ask you in this time, in this situation, Father, I know the local community is moving quickly, Father, to help this family. But Father, I ask for their emotional place. Their emotional place. Father, that supernaturally you would begin to shore them up. Father, I ask you that Christians from every corner of Kenton, north, south, east, and west, would come to their place emotionally and begin to support them and share the gospel. Father, if they don't know you, I thank you, Lord, that which the devil meant for evil would be turned around for good, and God, they would hear the gospel message and have a choice to receive you as their personal Savior. Father, I thank you that you make a way where there seems to be no way for them. And Father, that they will know that they know that they know that they've been touched by you and by your people in this situation. In Jesus' name. Okay, so I normally don't do this, but we're going to need those offering buckets again. I don't know anything about this family situation. I got to be honest with you, this is like totally against my MO. Normally, I'd have to know who they are, what they are, if they had insurance, if they didn't, all this, but I literally drove by the fire on my way in, and I heard the Lord say, you need to take an offering. And then they're on the prayer list. So, Kenton Church, we get to be a part of a beautiful thing for our community today. Just one. Put it right in the middle. Just one. Yep. Here you go. Do you know the family? Yeah. Does anyone here in the church know the Hines family? You do? Could tell me who that is? Okay. Okay, Tucker. That's his name. All right. Tucker, we're gonna need you. No, what is it? Christian, sorry. You know, it's limited availability up here. I'm just saying. Christian, I'm probably gonna need you this week. As soon as we get this offering counted. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss, and then we're going to take the offering. All right. Father, we just come before you in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for this service. We thank you for this opportunity, Father, to come together and worship freely, Father, in this beautiful land. God, I thank you that this week, Father, you will touch our hearts and move upon the heart of people. And, Father, we will be loving like you in a greater way. Father, that our true faith engine could work. Father, we thank you for it. We thank you that you will keep us safe until we meet again this next week. Father, and that you'll bless whatever comes into this house this week and the teachers Thursday, Sunday, and next week. And Father, we thank you that you've blessed our pastors with favor, rest, and restoration in their bodies, their minds, and their spirits. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, and we will see you next week. Kenton Church, you stay.